was a blessing. At this time, you can open your Bibles, Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 to 7. Isaiah 9, verses 6 to 7. When you found that verse, if you kindly stand to read that verse, Isaiah 9, 6 to 7. I'll read verse 6, and we can all read responsively verse 7. Isaiah 9, verses 6 to 7. And it says, verse 6, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." Let's have a word of prayer. Father, I love you and thank you again, Lord. Thank you for your word. An opportunity again we have this morning to come and open your word, Lord. Thank you for how your word changes lives. Thank you for souls that have been saved at the reading of your word, Father. I thank you again for Christmas, Lord. I pray you be with our preacher. I pray you fill him, Lord. I pray you use him. I pray we'd all leave here changed, a little help this morning. Thank you so much for how good you are to us all. So we ask in your name, amen.
When love was born so long ago, God sent a child to earth below. To man he came, humble and pure, so that birth of God's own Son, a work of love was there begun. He came to us that we might find peace on earth.
Appreciate that. I want to say to those of you who were involved in the Sunday school outreach yesterday, I sure appreciate your giving up a Saturday morning on Christmas Eve to have Sunday school for the kids. Caleb texted me and said it was a wonderful day. I think there was about 155 or so that came in and had a good Sunday school time. Thank you for doing that. That's a blessing, and I appreciate it so very, very much. And appreciate you being out this morning. Now, I'm not sure what Brother Jason meant by a lively service at 5 o'clock. All right, if you're expecting Santa Claus or somebody, I don't think. He'd be home taking a nap, amen, by this afternoon. And so I'm not sure what that means, but we will have service at 5 o'clock, okay? And I know some of you have family gatherings and, and places to be. I understand that. And if you're out with your family, that's I understand. But if you're home, rather than just sitting there watching a television show, come on in and have church with us tonight. Amen. And we'll be here for about an hour, if not less. I promise you it will not last over 60 minutes. It might last a little bit less than 60 minutes, but no longer. And so 5 o'clock, we'll have a service here at that time. I was looking up here at these empty pews across the front row. Just about except for Brother Calvin here. Amen. I'm glad you're on the front row, Calvin. The folks who normally sit here are not here this morning. Reminded me of that story. I heard it years ago when a pastor and his church were building a new auditorium. And they were Baptist and notorious as Baptist towards, sitting toward the back. Nobody ever sat in the front. And so the pastor, unbeknownst to any of the membership, deacon board, building committee, anybody, he came up with a plan, and he was so proud of himself. Nobody knew about it. I had the grand opening Sunday. And when the folk walked into the auditorium, there was only 2 pews in the very back, just 2 pews. And so they looked around. What? No, he said, the pastor said, it'll be all right. Just have a seat. So I sat down. As soon as those pews were filled, he pushed a button. The hoot right to the front. Man, he's proud as a peacock. In their place, 2 more pews came up. They filled those up. He pushed another button. Man, he thought, he's just patting himself on the back. He pulled one over on the people. He was so excited. He was preaching that morning. He was so excited about what he had done, what he had pulled over on the people. He didn't quit at 12, and at 12 noon, a trap door under the pulpit, behind the pulpit opened, and he fell through, and all the church people left it with their thumbs up, amen. So they pulled one over in the people, all right. I think I'm okay up here this morning, all right. We've been talking about Jesus the last few Sundays. This is about him, amen. So we're going to talk this morning again about his name. Thank the Lord for the opportunity to preach from His Word this morning. Let's pray. Father, we love You and thank You for this season, not just this season, all the time. You're good. We're especially grateful at this time of the year for Jesus Christ. Help me, I pray, as we talk about one aspect of the baby that You gave many years ago. We love You, dear God. Please help me. May the Spirit of the Lord be here to warm our hearts this morning. We pray and ask it in Jesus' name. And amen. By the way, I want to say it's good to have Missionary Dave Schrock and his wife Gina with us again today. Now, they'll be leaving on Tuesday. I don't know if you'll be back through here or not before you leave. You will. But good to have them in. Missionary Clint Reardon will be with us. We'll be here next Sunday. And so it'll be good to have Clint here. Good to have these men. Now, God's Spirit began to move Isaiah to write about God's Son over 700 years before Christ was born. That's a long time. Over 700 years before Christ was born, His name was already chosen, determined beforehand by God Himself. And as I said before, when we started this thing, one name could not suffice for this baby. His person was too big and His character was too immense for Him to be known by one name. So God had Isaiah put pen down 5 names by which the baby would be known. Wonderful. We talked about that a couple of weeks ago. Counselor. And then last Sunday morning, the Mighty God. And we come to this 4th name this morning. The name, the Everlasting Father. The Everlasting Father. Now, I want to do what I did last week. I want to take away the adjective for just a moment. And we see that His name shall be called the Father. The Father. If you were not here last Sunday, once again, the matter of His deity is mentioned in that name. The Father, the baby, Jesus Christ, was co-equal with the Father. These 3 are one. The Father, the Son, and the Spirit. The Bible says we serve one God and one Lord. And that's what Jesus is, a part of that Godhead. Now let me say this. When we learn about His name, we take great courage in the fact that He is called the Mighty God. To know that Jesus being with us, those of us who are saved, to know that Jesus being with us is having the Mighty God with us brings us great courage, because the Bible asks the question, is there anything too hard for the Lord? And the Bible answers that question by saying there's nothing too hard for the Lord. Nothing. So we take great courage in the fact that He is the Mighty God. One of the grandsons, the oldest grandson, I believe it was Wednesday night, were having a snack after the service. Might have been last Sunday, but I think it was Wednesday. And he said to his mother, it had to be last Wednesday, said to his mother, said, "Mommy, how old is Daddy?" And she said, "He's 31. And he said, "I should have told that boy my daddy's 31. That's what he said. I can only imagine the conversation going on after church between two, you know, 4, 5, 6-year-old boys. "My daddy's 28. My daddy's 31. My daddy's strong. My daddy's stronger than your daddy." Huh? I can only imagine that. That's what he said. "I should have told that boy that my daddy is 31. And so I guess he took great courage in having a dad who's 31 years of age. Amen. All right. And we take great courage in the fact that Jesus is the mighty God. And you can take great courage in that. On the other hand, we find great comfort in knowing that Jesus is the everlasting Father. Great courage in knowing that Jesus is the mighty God. Great comfort in knowing that He is the everlasting Father. Christ is the Father. And as such, Christ would be all the best things about a father to His people. If you had a good dad, or if your dad is still living today and you have a good dad, there's a lot to be thankful for when you have a good dad. A father is so many things to his people, to his family, to his kids. And Jesus is no exception to me and you. I think about compassion. I think about care and consolation and support and provision and encouragement. And the Bible says that Christ has made all of those things to us. I don't have time to talk about all of those things this morning, but I want to talk about a couple of them. I think about that word compassion, that Christ is compassion to us because of His being the everlasting Father, and a Father provides compassion for His family. There's no need to argue that Christ has compassion for us. And let me say this morning that compassion is far more than just having sympathy. Far more than just having sympathy. Pardon me. You remember the story that Jesus told of the traveler who was on the road to Jericho. And he was jumped on by the thieves. And Jesus said that the thieves robbed him and beat him and left him for dead on the side of the road. You remember that? And there he lay. And Jesus said a priest came by. Now listen to this. The priest didn't want to have anything to do with it. In fact, the priest didn't want to have to be inconvenienced by seeing a man lying in the road. So the Bible says he went by on the other side. Completely ignored him. Then Jesus said a lawyer came by, or a Levite. And the Levite came down. And the Levite saw the person lying in the road. And the Levite stopped and looked at him. At least he took the time to look on him. And then the Bible says, Jesus said, he went on down the road too. So the priest came by. He didn't want to be inconvenienced. He went on the other side of the road. Didn't stop. The Levite at least went to where the man lay and at least looked on him and had sympathy on him. But that's all. He went on down the road. And then Jesus said a Samaritan came by. And the Samaritan went to him. And the Samaritan didn't only go to him. The Bible says that the Samaritan bound up his wounds and poured in oil and wine and set him on his own beasts and brought him to an inn and took care of him and paid his bill at the inn and told the innkeeper, "I'll come back by sometime later. And if I haven't given you enough money for this poor man, I'll even up with you when I come back by. And Jesus said that the Samaritan had compassion on him. So all that the Samaritan did was defined as compassion. Compassion. And Christ, as the Father, had compassion on us. He gave His life for us. John 15:13 says it this way, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend." I've said it before, friend, you may get lonesome sometimes. This is human. This is human. To get lonesome at times and ask yourself, does God love me? I wonder, does God really love me? Does God care for me? And friend, that question is answered in the fact that yes, Jesus Christ came to this earth 2,000 years ago, born in a manger, went to an old rugged cross and laid down His life. Don't ever forget that the greatest gift of love was in the fact that God gave His Son and His Son gave His life so that we can be saved. Greater love. greater love. What was behind the gifts you gave this Christmas season? I would think that some of the times obligation is behind those gifts. Most of the time, love is behind those gifts, is it not? But there has never been a gift given with greater love behind it than the gift of Jesus Christ, who gave His own life so that we might be saved. You see, Jesus didn't see us laying on the road half dead in our trespasses and sins. He didn't see us laying there and pass by on the other side, not wanting to get involved. He didn't just come to us and look at us and shake His head and have sympathy on us and go His way. Jesus came to where we were, and He had compassion on us. And that's what the Bible says. When I think about a father, Jesus as being a father, I think a father provides compassion for his family. And Jesus as our father provides compassion for us. When I think about a father for his family, I think about care and provision. You know, being a father now for over 30 years, I realize more than ever how my own father cared for and provided for us as boys. You know, Dad took care of us. Me and my two brothers, Tim and Tom. He took care of us. And over these years, I have tried to take care of the things for our children. Tried to big things, small things, routine things, special things. As our Father, Jesus takes care of so much in our lives. So many things that we don't even think about or realize. Let me tell you, Matthew's Gospel says that in Bible days, two sparrows were sold for a farthing. Now, the study guys, the commentators and so forth, the dictionary guys, they say that a farthing is pretty much equivalent to a one half of a penny. So that means that two farthings would cost a penny. That's not much, is it? A penny. Jesus went on to say that if one of those two sparrows falls to the ground, it doesn't happen without the Father knowing it. I've been out exercising. Not recently. That's coming. Is yours coming? Mine's coming. Amen. I just put it all on hold at Thanksgiving. I said, I'm not going to worry about a lick of it till January 3rd. Amen. All right. January 3rd is coming again. But when I did exercise and would go out for a run in the morning, sometimes on my run, I would notice that a bird had been killed. Old starling or an old sparrow. Probably hit by somebody's car. Huh? You've done that. You've been there. And every time I run by that little old dead, nothingless, meaningless bird in the middle of the road, I can't help but think to myself, God was here. God was right here. Right here on Road 2250. Road 6000 if I've made the turn. Because the Bible says that not one little meaningless bird worth a half a penny falls to the ground without God knowing it. And then Jesus went on to say, the very hairs, and this is all connected together in Matthew's Gospel there. Then He went on to say that the very hairs of your head are numbered. Now, why would He say, after He says that if a sparrow fall to the ground, it doesn't happen without God knowing it, why would He go on to say, hey, and take comfort in this, that the very hairs of your head are all numbered. You know why He said that? Because our hair falls out. Or our hair has fallen out. Or in some cases, the hair fell out. Now, listen. The hairs of our head are all numbered, and every time a hair falls out, God knows it, and He knows which number it was. God doesn't think to Himself or say, there goes one of so-and-so's hairs. There goes hair number 263. Oh, yeah. That's how much the Father cares for us. That's how detailed His care is. And then He went on to say, Matthew, Jesus speaking, fear ye not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. As a father, Jesus provides compassion and care. And I know, you know, my wife and I were talking the other day. We began to hear, you know, these stories about Dr. Watts passing away. Thought about his wife, Jan, and their children. And then George Hood passed away. And Zach was weeping on the telephone. And preacher, it's hard to find your dad dead in the chair 2 days before Christmas. And I told my wife, there's a lot of sad people at Christmas time. A lot of sad people. And maybe you've come this morning with a smile on your face and a Merry Christmas on your lips because it's the thing to do. But deep inside, you're lonesome. Deep inside, you're cumbered about with anxious care. Deep inside, your heart is hurting. Deep inside, things are just kind of just not going as well as they could, as smoothly as they should. And you have to wonder to yourself, sometimes I wonder if my God, if the Lord Jesus really cares. Friend, not a hair falls from your head, but that God doesn't know it. He may not always move as quickly as we would like Him to move, but, and I want to just get loud here, but I can't, nothing passes His attention. Nothing. So He knows where you are. He knows what's happening. He knows the needs of your heart. He knows the difficulties you're facing. As a father, Jesus provides compassion. As a father, Jesus provides care. You say, Pastor Angel, you talk about Jesus and God as if they are one and the same on purpose. Because they are. Now look, I could go on and on about what Jesus is to us as our Father, but I want to give some attention before I close this morning to the adjective that is used about the Father. And Isaiah said His name will be the Everlasting Father. Now that's a compound word. Ever and lasting. That's lasting and enduring forever. That is eternal duration, past and future. Jesus is the Everlasting Father. His compassion, now wait a minute, and His care were without beginning. So when did He start to care for me? His compassion and care is without beginning. And without ending. If you have a good dad, he can't help but be your dad. No matter how old you get. My dad comes. I'm 54 years of age. Almost 55. It doesn't matter when you are grown and married with a spouse and children of your own and even grandchildren. If your dad is around, he's still your dad. He can't help himself. Dad comes to visit. Lord willing, I think we'll see him possibly. Planning on it next Saturday and Sunday for my nephew's wedding. When I'm around my dad, you know what he is? He's dad. I'm 54, almost 55. I have a wife of over 32 years. I have 6 children. 4 of them are married. I have 4 grandchildren, 5 grandchildren. I have lived in 4 states since I moved out of my dad's home in 1975. I have visited a dozen different foreign countries. And yet when dad is around me, he's still my dad. Now, Terry, you need to do this. And Terry, you need to do that. And Terry, you better do this. And Terry, if you don't do this. And Terry, how about, have you thought about this? And if you do it, better do this. And while I'm up here talking about my dad, this gang out here is all smirking and smiling right now. And looking at each other. Because you know what? When I'm around, I'm their dad. When they're around me, I can't help it. It's the nature of a dad. A dad takes care of his family. A dad has compassion on his family. You can't change that about your dad if you had a good dad. And don't, you know, you got to have, I've learned, it used to aggravate me when I'd be around dad and he'd treat me like a boy. But you know what? That's what I am. I'm his son. That'll never change. His DNA is in me. Amen? Yeah. I used to get aggravated, but I just learned, you know, hey, this is all right. A dad is a dad is a dad is always a dad if he's a good dad. And you know what? The truth of the matter is, you know, he's that way until either he passes, or in some cases, if he's not a good dad, he leaves. People in this church have had to go through both of those. For many of you, your dad's passed. Your dad is gone. It wasn't too long ago Ramona's dad passed. Zacho's dad passed Friday. The Watts' dad passed on last week. And some of you, your dad has passed. And that father's not there anymore to provide that care and that compassion and so forth. And then some of you, unfortunately, I hate it, but your dad left. He just left. And he wasn't there to provide the care and the compassion maybe that most dads, good dads, would provide. And I hate that for you as well. I want to say to you, friend, that if your earthly dad has passed or if your earthly dad left you, you have an everlasting Father in the Lord Jesus Christ whose care and compassion for you will never end. Without beginning and without end when it comes to His children. Praise God for a Savior who is the everlasting Father. And let me say this morning. The Father designates a specific relationship. Father designates a specific relationship. Now, Jesus is the mighty God. And you know what? That covers everybody and everything. But to be a father, there has to be a specific relationship. Now, look, all the people of this church who are members here, those of you who are visiting, of course, don't call me this, but all the people of this church who are members here, they all call me Pastor. And I am that to all the people, the members of this church, but there's only a handful of people in this church who call me Father. They're my kids. I have a special and specific relationship with my children or those who are married to my children. Now, look, all people have to do with God. All people saved and lost will stand before God, but only the saved can call God by the name Father. There's an erroneous teaching that has circulated over the years in liberal denominational churches. It's called the fatherhood of God, that God is everybody's Father. You know where I hear that more often than not? Funeral services. I go to a funeral service. And no matter what the person's life was like, no matter their experience with the Lord Jesus Christ, God is everybody's Father. And as everybody's Father, God loves everybody too much to ever send somebody to a place of eternal punishment and fire and separation from Him. And that sure does sound nice, doesn't it? One big problem with it. Not true. It's not true. That's the farthest thing from the truth. God is not everybody's Father. He is only Father to those who have been born to Him. Now, God is everybody's God. Jesus is everybody's God. But God the Father, Jesus, they're only Father to those who have been born to them. There is a vast difference in being part of God. Listen to this. There's a vast difference in being a part of God's creation and being a part of God's family. Vast difference. As a human being, you're part of God's creation. You did not come from a monkey. You're born, created in the very image of God. God, we're all part of God's creation, but not everybody is a part of God's family. You can only become a part of the family of God by being born to Him. How do you get born to God? But the Bible says it's not by the will of man. Not by the flesh. Not through church experience and ritual. The only way you can get born to God is through the death, burial, and resurrection of His Son, Jesus Christ. And once you are saved, once you've come to Jesus Christ and repented and trusted in Him as your personal Savior, then you are born into God's family. And then you have a Father. An everlasting Father. whose care and compassion is ongoing, ongoing and ongoing, who loves you and comforts you and cares for you. But until you come to Jesus Christ as Savior and trust in Him, you cannot be one of God's children. What a great blessing that this son, this baby, this little child whose birthday we celebrate today is the key that opens to you and me a relationship with the eternal God. The Spirit of God drew me back in October of 1975 to the Son of God, Jesus Christ. And when I received Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, I was born into the family of God. And since that day, I have a relationship with the everlasting Father. And if you've been saved, you have that same relationship. And if you've never been saved, I can't think of a greater day than on Christmas Day to give your heart to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, that little baby born in that manger, spent 33 and a half years on this planet, never had a sinful thought, never uttered a sinful word, never did a sinful deed, was crucified. They didn't take him struggling and cursing and spitting like the other criminals would do. He walked over and laid his life down. Shed his blood on that cross. Took in his own body our sins upon the tree. Paid the sin debt for us. Was separated from his Father for those moments on the cross of Calvary when he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Died, took him down, put his old body in that old empty tomb, that new empty tomb there. And for 3 days and three nights, that body lay there lifeless. But on that third morning, he got up and walked out. He's the living God. He's the everlasting Father. If you've never embraced Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I don't care how many churches you belong to, how many times you've been baptized, how many communion wafers you may have taken, if you've never trusted Christ, you're not born to God's family. But if you have, you have an everlasting Father. Everlasting Father. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Thank you for listening this morning. I appreciate you being here. Now I'm going to ask just a couple of questions. I wonder who's here today would say, Brother Angel, member and visitor alike. Member and visitor alike, Brother Angel, I'm saved. Now, let me ask you to do one thing. Let me ask you to be honest. Be honest with God. Honest with yourself. Pastor, I'm saved. If I died right now, I know where I'd spend eternity. My eternal destiny is all settled. I've come to Christ. I received Him as my Savior. I'm sure of it. If you can say that today with full confidence, would you raise your hand, please, in testimony of that fact? I'm saved and I know it. Saved and I know it. Thank you so much. Take your hand down. Now, let me ask this question now. Is there somebody here this morning who would say, Pastor, I could not raise my hand just then. I don't know that I'm saved. If God loved me that much to send His Son to die for me, I would sure like to know more about it. I could not raise my hand a moment ago. I do not know that I'm saved, but I'll raise it now and just say, Pastor, I don't know, so please pray for me. Would you just slip your hand up? That's all I ask you to do. Just slip it up in the air, put it right back down. Anybody like that here this morning, member or visitor? Yes, God bless you. Somebody else, not sure that I'm saved. Not sure that I'm saved. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Just a minute, I'm going to pray. All right, just a minute, I'm going to pray for you and ask God to speak to your heart. Let me just say before I pray, God loves you so much. That little baby born in Bethlehem's manger went to the cross and died for you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man would lay down his life, die for his friends. We give the invitation in just a moment. I hope that you'll come. Let somebody take a Bible on Christmas morning and show you how to be saved. I wonder who this morning a saved person would say, Pastor, I'm saved, but I've never been baptized in deep water since I've been saved. Pray for me. I'm saved, but I've not been baptized. Somebody like that, God bless you. If you came this morning prepared to follow the Lord in believer's baptism, you come while when the music begins in just a moment. Anybody else? Pastor, I need to be baptized. Anybody? All right. How many Christians here today would say, Pastor, you may or may not know the things going on in my heart this morning. when I needed to be reminded that Jesus is an everlasting Father, my everlasting Father. Not a hair of my head falls out, but that He doesn't know it and know which number it is. And although it may seem like right now, your life is hidden from His view, not one hair that falls from your head goes unnoticed. Pastor, I needed that reminder this morning. Just pray for me when you close the service. Yes, I see your hand. God bless you. Somebody else. Yes, somebody else. Yes. Amen. My Heavenly Father, what a blessing it is to bow our head and call you Father. Thank you for being an everlasting Father. Thank you that Jesus had care and compassion on us. And I pray this morning for these church folks, Lord, who raised their hand and in their heart is some kind of turmoil or trouble or something where they needed to be reminded that, God, you know, even when every hair falls out. And then I pray for one this morning who needs to get baptized. They step out and be obedient to Christ. And I pray, Lord, for one or two that aren't sure that they're saved. Oh, God, please, what a great morning for somebody to trust Christ. Please, move on that heart today. And I'll thank you for it.